Lashana Tova Tikti Tevu. May you be inscribed for a good year. And welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my lovely wife and Bible teacher, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Well, thank you, my dear, and shalom aleichem to all our listeners, which means peace be upon you. Let's open in prayer.
Abba, Father, we thank you, we praise and give you honor. Guide us by the light of your Holy Spirit in this increasingly dark world. We constantly lift up all our loved ones that need your salvation. Keep pulling at the strings of their heart and do whatever it takes for their eyes to be opened. We also seek your healing power on the listeners tonight suffering from any infirmity, for you are our healer, and our only hope is in you alone. Bless tonight's study, and may you be glorified. In Yeshua's name, amen.
Amen. Well, we're about 2 weeks away from the start of the yearly three feasts of the fall season that all occur within the same Hebrew month of Tishrei, beginning with God's real New Year celebration, which lasts for 2 days, Tishrei 1 and 2.
Well, explain why it's for 2 days.
Well, because back then, the new moon could only be proclaimed when they saw its first sliver for that month. So, just to be sure they really saw it, they made it a two-day feast. And it was a two-day feast when Jesus was here. And actually, Rosh Hashanah is Hebrew for, well, Rosh means head and Shana means year. And therefore, this appointment of God took on a common expression of...
No one knows the day or the hour.
That's right. Jesus knew when he said that in Matthew 24 that they would know what he was referring to. And really, only God can pinpoint the actual moment of the new moon.
And there wasn't a NASA back then.
Right.
Okay, before we continue, any news to share?
Well, I must say, it was a disturbingly sad week to see President Trump's mugshot, having a defiant look, all the while I was imagining the Biden cartels laughing in our faces.
At least it seems likely that a Biden impeachment inquiry is coming.
Well, it should. After all, they have solid evidence now that they gained over $50 million from approximately 13 foreign countries. I was recently watching a lady who escaped from China during Mao's revolution, and she said that America is heading down the same path where our rule of law is turning into what Marxists call a proletarian dictatorship. It begins with the party in power going after the opposition, as blatantly now seen with President Trump. They will also go after anyone who does not follow their rules, and many of their rules are turned into laws. And we have seen that as well.
They will not tolerate any dissenting voices.
Obviously. Look at our censorship on social media and how, along with the mainline press, hid Hunter's laptop.
And they did interfere with the 2020 elections.
And the 2022 elections as well, just ask Carrie Lake. And just last week, my son-in-law said on Facebook that January 6th was not an insurrection, and the algorithm picked up the word insurrection and put him in Facebook jail. Do you know there are still innocent victims in jail for just being at the Capitol while no one was even charged after the 2020 riots when businesses were burned up?
Well, you know, it's a two-tiered justice system.
Yeah, we do. But we got to change that.
Add it to the list.
Right.
And COVID mandates are coming back.
Oh, yeah. Just as in masks and mRNA vaccines, even knowing there were and still are deadly side effects, while degrading people's immune system, making it much harder to fight off the next more infectious gain-of-function release on the public. That is the plan that Bill Gates and Klaus Schwab of the WHO predicted would be coming.
Well, and they are right because they are behind it.
Exactly. And even Jesuit Fauci is still around promoting mandates, as in masks and vaccines, at various colleges, especially Jesuit Georgetown U, of which he is now a teaching professor. And so many others do, to further indoctrinate our young people.
Don't most people think that communism is just about economics?
Yeah, but it isn't. It's an ideology.
Yes.
First authoritarianism and then tyranny.
Explain the difference.
Well, authoritarianism is a government body. Then tyranny is a one-man rule.
As in China, Cuba, North Korea, Laos, and Vietnam.
And many others are verging into heavy socialism. And unless we do something soon, we won't even recognize America, as we already have taken in approximately 9 million immigrants who all expect handouts. And what gall does Biden have to cut gates into Trump's existing border wall?
Obviously, so more can enter through more places.
Mm-hmm. And knowing our border patrol cannot be everywhere. You know, even Israel had a wall in the Old Testament with a judge seated at the gate to vet people coming in.
Well, speaking of Israel, do you have an update?
I do. As I wrote in last week's newsletter, we were so glad about Saudi Arabia highly considering a normalization deal with Israel and not really demanding Israel make any security concessions to the Palestinians. However, we now found out that our Biden administration, who is obviously interfering on the side of the Palestinians, is saying, hey, wait a minute, the Palestinians should benefit as well.
And Washington is pushing hard.
Yes, and they want it done before elections to give Biden a feather in his hat.
So, obviously, Biden will pounce hard on Bibi when he visits the White House next month.
You think?
Mm-hmm.
Anyhow, Ron Dermer, head of strategic affairs for Israel, said the only compromise they will make is to allow Saudi Arabia to use nuclear programming.
Although Saudi Arabia is pushing to control the Temple Mount.
They are, but if you recall, Trump said the Palestinians should have no say in what Israel ultimately does, which is why the Abraham Accords went so well. But here we go again. Just like in the Obama days, it's all about the Palestinians. Even the international community knows, with Netanyahu at the helm, the Palestinians will not get its own state and certainly not make East Jerusalem their capital.
Which is what the Palestinians have always wanted.
However, as we've been seeing quite often over the years, early elections in Israel can occur if just one party group holding enough seats drops from the coalition. Then it's back to the polls again.
What does the Bible say?
Well, scriptures both in Ezekiel 36 and Joel 3 says they will divide God's land, which many think means giving up Israel's sovereignty over the Temple Mount that God won back for them in the 67 war. And as we said, that is Saudi Arabia's goal as well at this point.
And won't the Vatican play a big role in that deal?
Yes, since the Pope does recognize all interfaith religions, and the three major ones are represented in Jerusalem. So I have always felt that the Pope would control the Temple Mount. But again, every day is a new day. We'll just wait and see.
All right, then. You can send your end-time question by email to Sheila@shofarministry.net. Or call the office and leave your detailed message to 440-834-9006. Or by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Your love offerings are needed and greatly appreciated, which automatically puts you on our newsletter mailing list. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministry.net, where you can access any of our past programs, letters, and added teachings. Okay, time to move on to Rosh Hashanah and the fall appointments of God.
Yes, for it is that time again that Jesus, some year soon, will literally fulfill his appointments, just like he did in the spring with his death, burial, and resurrection. And 50 days later sent the Holy Spirit, as recorded in Acts chapter 2.
Those appointments he already kept were on Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, and Pentecost.
Which took us into the current church age, which lasts for 2 days.
Hosea 6, verse 2.
Which actually means 2,000 years, from when he went back to his place in 32 A.D.
So, time's almost up.
Yes, and I know many say Jesus died in 33 A.D., but that's simply because they are not familiar with the first century Hebrew roots. Therefore, are following the Catholic narrative that in the year 33 A.D., Nisan 14, Passover, fell on a Thursday. However, and this is worth noting, they don't know that on God's calendar, the week Jesus died, Passover began on Wednesday at sundown, when Jesus gave the Last Supper and then died just before sundown, still Passover, on Thursday, not Friday.
So again, Passover began on a Wednesday, which happened to be in 32 A.D., not 33 A.D.
Correct. And by the way, he was raised 3 full days later on Sunday morning.
Therefore, dying on Friday does not equal 3 full days and nights.
Correct. And we go over that every spring, which are archived on ShofarMinistries.net. Also, the Essenes wrote that the last set of the Jubilee years begins in 2025, and therefore we assume the year of the rapture on Rosh Hashanah, Feast of Trumpets. Therefore, a second coming would be at the end of the tribulation, which would be 2032.
Of course, spiritually, all seven and the Sabbath is fulfilled in the born-again Christian.
Yes, spiritually. But physically and literally, there are still 3 appointments yet to be fulfilled. With the next in line, again, is my favorite for obvious reasons, Rosh Hashanah, which this year begins September 15th at sundown. Then, 10 days later is Yom Kippur, and then, 5 days after that, is Tabernacles. So you can say, spiritually, that there are really 8, because the Sabbath was also spiritually fulfilled, because Jesus is our Sabbath rest, for he lives inside of us.
And Hebrew 4 speaks about that.
Which is why his number is number 8.
Meaning never-ending eternity.
Yes. So again, the Sabbath will also be physically fulfilled by Jesus when he returns in person at the second coming to earth to set up his kingdom, which is 1,000 years of Sabbath rest. But remember, for the bride, the Messianic kingdom begins at the rapture. Then, 7 years later, we'll be back on earth for the remaining 993 years. And then comes eternity, which God hasn't let us in on what comes then.
But it will be great, no doubt.
Amen. Okay, so moving on. The Hebrew word for feast is moed, which literally means a set time or appointment specified in Scripture, as in Leviticus 23, by God himself. And by the way, not only is there a spiritual and a literal application, but also they're historical, as when the Hebrews experienced their first Passover in Egypt, left after sundown on unleavened bread, and crossed through the Dead Sea, the Red Sea, on the Feast of First Fruits, and was given their Torah 50 days later on what would be considered the first Pentecost.
It's amazing how this teaching of God's appointments has been so neglected.
I know. It seems unexplainable to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, a few churches are now recognizing this treasure, but it should have been taught right alongside the Ten Commandments in Sunday school, which was also originated had originated back in Exodus 20. And in the New Testament, Jesus simplifies all 10 with just two commandments in Matthew 22. Love God and your neighbor.
However, today's society should stick to the 10, which is more specific.
Good point.
You know, I say that because I once heard a guy say, yeah, I do love my neighbor and I visit her all the time.
Well, that's a good reason why we need to be precise. But if you read the whole New Testament, Jesus speaks often about immorality. And in Revelation 21:8, he is very specific and says, no sexually immoral people will enter the kingdom.
Okay, back to Rosh Hashanah.
The first of the last three, again, still literally unfulfilled fall appointments of God, is Rosh Hashanah, meaning the head of the year.
As in God's new year.
Yes, and the civil calendar begins in the Hebrew month of Tishrei, whereas the later biblical calendar from Exodus 12 begins in Nisan, when the Hebrews left Egypt, and the month Jesus died on the cross and was resurrected. Anyhow, at the end of the 6,000th year from Adam's creation, the resurrection is expected to occur. And that specific year is known only to God because the years in ancient days were miscalculated. This anniversary date, again, is also called the Feast of Trumpets because it's a memorial celebration of the blowing of trumpets as written in Leviticus 23:23.
In the seventh month, on the first of the month, you shall have a Sabbath rest, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation.
That's Hebrew for convocation is mikra, meaning rehearsal, and a holy gathering, which they did every year.
Mm-hmm.
So as we've been telling you, for 30 days during the previous month of Elul, in the season of Teshuvah, just prior to the Feast of Trumpets, the Israelites would blow a shofar every day as a reminder and a warning to examine themselves thoroughly for anything that might keep them from being part of the most talked about and anticipated event some year called the Resurrection. Again, this season of Teshuvah, which means to return to a closer union with God, wasn't just about repentance from sins, for they did daily sacrifices for those. But Teshuvah, which we are currently in right now, and as we've been saying over the last few weeks, besides being a warning time from God, is also about unforgiveness in your heart.
As in holding grudges towards someone.
And just not being close enough to God, and instead letting the cares of this life supersede time with God in his scriptures.
So you're saying this is a good time for us as well to take stock of ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Right. We know as born again Christians, Jesus was the ultimate sacrifice for our sins. But what about all those things we should do but do not?
Or maybe you are finding yourself backsliding.
Hmm. Or perhaps you only have a head knowledge, not a real conversion of the heart.
Mm-hmm.
This would be one of those times to examine your heart, because some year very soon, my friend, he will call up his bride. And James 5 says it will be in the season of the great harvest, which all know is in the fall. And for those who do study our Hebraic roots and grasp its unique terminology, are expecting the next appointment to be fulfilled will be the Feast of Trumpets, signified by the resurrection / rapture. And so they eat fruit and honey to symbolize and to anticipate a sweet new year.
So now let's look at some common idiomatic phrases used for Rosh Hashanah.
All right. The best one and used in 1 Corinthians 15:51 is
the last trump.
Right. Unfortunately, it's probably the most misinterpreted idiom used by Paul and a perfect example of why some knowledge of Hebraic roots is so important, especially when it comes to eschatology. This expression is used due to the fact that not only is the shofar blown every day during Teshuvah, they also blow on the 30th day, called Rosh Hashanah, or Feast of Trumpets, 100 trumpet blasts, and at the last trump would usher in the feast and celebrate God's creation, sort of like the ball dropping in Times Square on December 31st. But it's important to note that the seventh angel that blows a trumpet in Revelation 11 is not the same.
In fact, even Pentecost has an idiom called the first trumpet.
Yeah, due to the fact in Exodus 19, it was the first shofar blown by God when he gave them the law at Mount Sinai. And Yom Kippur, which we'll expound on in September, has the idiom called the great trumpet, as we see in Matthew 24:31, at his second coming, which will be on a Yom Kippur, to gather his elect tribulation saints and the 144,000.
Okay. You know, another idiom for this day is the coronation.
And Psalm 47 is usually read in the synagogue still today in exaltation of our soon coming king, who will be crowned king in front of us in heaven. So it must be on a Rosh Hashanah, because remember, God gave us our Jewish roots so we can glean our future through this knowledge. Anyhow, they would also bake a round loaf of bread to symbolize a crown, because again, in ancient times, all kings were crowned on Rosh Hashanah, even if they had to take up the office earlier.
Also called Yom Terah,
meaning the day of the awakening blast, because it's meant to awaken the dead.
And chief of the year,
to begin over, and a typical saying to others, as we open tonight's program, is
Lashana Tova Tikitevu.
May you be inscribed for a good year. Also, it's just called
Arise,
because the actual word resurrection isn't in the Old Testament. Instead, they picture it as is used in Isaiah 26:19.
Open the gates.
And that's also in Isaiah 26, verse 2. It says, open the gates that the righteous may enter, and that, by the way, are closed on Yom Kippur. And that's called the Neilah. And when he returns on
Day of Judgment,
it's called that, certainly to those left behind, but also is an idiom for Rosh Hashanah because of the Bema Judgment, where the books containing our good deeds are opened before him, and therefore is also called
the Day of Remembrance,
as written in Malachi 3:16.
Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditates on his name.
This book will be open on Rosh Hashanah in heaven for our rewards. And we have a lot more to share with you next week. But this is important if you are backsliding, or if you even wonder whether you are an in-name-only Christian of Matthew 7, with only a head knowledge and not a true heart conviction, now's the time. Get on your knees right now. Don't wait a moment, for the enemy might steal this seed away. I want to leave you with the Aaronic blessing from number 6. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, that lasting shalom. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her, you're going to prosper in a lot of different ways. That's Psalm 122, verse 6. So we'll see you next week. Shalom.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.